we're going to be preaching this morning from our theme verse for the year. It's 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 14, and I took the verse, and I know we've mentioned this, we've come back to this a lot this year, but I'm going to preach a challenge to mothers from this verse. We need some moms. We need some mothers that would look at this verse and say, that is what I am going to do. But before we do that, I've got a couple more thoughts about moms that I wanted to share with you. There were four brothers. They left for college and they became successful doctors and lawyers and all those other things that makes lots of money. Some years later, they were having dinner together. They were talking about some gifts that they bought their mom on Mother's Day, their elderly mother that lived far away in another city. The first son said, I had a big house built for mom. The second son said, I had a $100,000 theater put into the house. The third son said, I had my Mercedes dealer drive by and deliver a brand new car to her. The fourth son, the youngest, said, well, you know how mom loved reading her Bible and you know she can't read anymore because she can't see very well. He said, well, I met this preacher who told me about a parrot and he can recite the entire Bible. It took 20 preachers 12 years to teach him, and I had to pledge to contribute $100,000 a year for 20 years to the church, but it was worth it. Mama just has to name the chapter and the verse, and the parrot will recite it to her. The other brothers were impressed. Shortly afterwards, the mother sent out some thank you notes, and here's what she wrote. Milton, the house you built is so huge, I live in only one room, but I have to clean the whole house. Thanks anyway. Marvin, I'm too old to travel. I stay home. I have my groceries delivered, so I never use the Mercedes. The thought was good, though. Thanks. Michael, you gave me an expensive theater with Dolby sound. It could hold 50 people, but all my friends are dead. I've lost my hearing, and I'm nearly blind. I'll never use it. Thank you for the gesture just the same. Dearest Melvin, you were the only son to have the good sense to give a little thought to your gift. The chicken was delicious. Thank you. Gifts for mom. Hope you got your mom a gift. One day, a little girl noticed that her mother had several strands. That was an expensive chicken. A little girl noticed that her mother had several strands of white hair. Just a few, but she looked at her mom and she asked, why are some of your hairs white, mom? Her mother replied, well, every time that you do something wrong and make me cry or unhappy, one of my hairs turns white. The little girl thought about that for a minute, really thought about it deeply. Then she said, Mommy, how come all of Grandma's hairs are white? One more, real short one. A woman was trying to get the ketchup to come out of the jar, and during her struggle, the phone rang, so she asked her four-year-old daughter to answer it. The girl answered the phone, and she said, it's the preacher, Mommy. The child, she told her mom that. Then she said, Mommy can't come to the phone right now. She's hitting the bottle. She'll be here in a minute. Aren't you glad for the calling of being a mom? There were so many other ones, but I had to stop there because we don't have time. 2 Chronicles 7, and I'm sure you've got plenty of stories from your childhood or your motherhood. 2 Chronicles 7, 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. The God-given calling of motherhood is under attack in our world today. We live in a culture today where motherhood is looked down on. Feminism, abortion, homosexuality, materialism, all of these things compiled together, it's an all-out attack against motherhood. Satan knows that if he can destroy families, he can destroy churches, and he can destroy entire nations. So I want to preach a challenge to moms this morning. We need you. Moms, we need some godly ladies who will look at this verse and say, that's the kind I want to be. That's the kind that I want to be. God wants to heal our land. God wants us, I believe, to live in a righteous land. I believe God wants us to live in a peaceful land. And God wants us to live in a land where family is honored, God is exalted, and evil is despised. And if we look at this verse this morning, it's our theme verse for the year. We've applied it so many different ways. But I'd like to look at this verse and break it down into its parts. And I want to preach a message that will hopefully be helpful and hopefully be a challenge. It could be just for moms this morning, but really, this is going to apply to anybody that would hear it and would take it to heart. I'm going to read that verse again. If my people, which are called by my name, this is God speaking, his name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I just want to go through this verse and break it down and look at each one of those phrases and apply it to being a mom because it's Mother's Day. But if you wanted to, you could apply this to being a dad. You could apply this to being a teenager. You could apply this to being a young person. But this morning, I want to focus on moms. You know, we need saved moms. Before we go anywhere else, let's just talk about this. If my people, those people that belong to God, those people who've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, we need saved moms. You can never be the mother you want to be and ought to be until you allow Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and you become a child of God. I'm just going to come right out of the chute and say it this morning. Listen, mom, if you've not trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, would you do that today? Would you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? Would you realize the fact that you are a sinner? Would you realize, just like I am, would you realize the fact that there's a punishment for sin and that punishment is death and eternity separated from God in hell? Would you realize this morning, mom, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, that Jesus Christ Himself, He died on the cross. He paid the price for every sin you've ever done, every sin you ever will do. The price has been paid. The punishment has been met. Justification is ready, but you've got to accept that we're all sinners. The punishment is sin and death. I'm sorry, the punishment for sin is death and hell. Jesus already paid the price for your sin, and He simply wants you to accept His free gift of forgiveness. The Bible says, if my people, it's such an important thing before you can go any further in this message to realize, if I'm not saved, if I've not trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, that is what I need. First and foremost, I want to show you a testimony. It's a short video testimony of a young lady. She's 32 years old. And I want this testimony to help you to understand the difference that could be made in a life just by taking that first step of salvation. Are you ready to show that video? It's only about 3 minutes. Go ahead.
My name is Kathy Fowler. I am a 32-year-old mother of two. I started in my addiction when I was probably about 14 years old with drinking. And after a number of years, it led to drug abuse, amongst other things. But I spent probably about 12 years with a pretty serious methamphetamine addiction. Between the ages of 21 and 26, I had three abortions, and I was pretty deep in my meth addiction. And when I was 27 years old, I became pregnant again for the fourth time, and I decided that this time I was going to keep my baby. So my parents and I checked me into a secular program. While I was in that program, someone had given me a Bible, and they told me that I should read Matthew and I would like it. But at that time, I was clean already, and so I thought that I didn't really need to read the Bible. I didn't need to know anything about that because I was clean. I left the program, stayed clean throughout my pregnancy, and when my daughter was about 2.5 months old, I fell back into my addiction. And she got really sick. So I was sitting in my apartment one day, and she was resting, and she was very sick, and I didn't know anything about God. I mean, I grew up in a home, an ungodly family, and I'd never gone to church or anything like that. But as I sat in my apartment that day, I started to kind of think that maybe there was a God, and that maybe he was going to take my child from me because I wasn't doing it right. Because even though I was a drug addict, but I loved that baby so much. I mean, she was everything to me, and I didn't want to be a drug addict. So I sat there, and I got that Bible out that someone had given me, and I started reading it, but it didn't make any sense to me. I closed it, and I sat it down, and I started crying. And shortly after that, my doorbell rang. I got up and answered the door, and there was two men standing there at the door, and they handed me a little folded piece of paper, and they said, "We just wanted to invite you to church." Even being unsaved, I knew that that couldn't be a coincidence. So I went to church that Sunday, and the Sunday after that I got saved. The Sunday after that I was baptized, and it was shortly after that that I started RU. And since then have just learned about the truths that have made me a good mom to my daughter. I'm now married to a wonderful godly man. I have another new baby. He's 4 months old.
Just a short testimony, and I'm going to finish this point by saying this. Mom, Dad, if you'll just get saved, things will change. If my people, now we can't change it on our own. We can't make ourselves change. You can stop habits for a while, but you don't change. It's only Christ that makes us free. This morning, just very simple. If my people, if you're not saved this morning, I'd like to challenge you to trust Christ as your Savior. The very next phrase, the Bible says, which are called by my name. See, this is a verse about revival. It's a verse about God healing our land and God doing something great in our lives. If you'll trust Christ as your Savior and then identify with Christ, if my people, which are called by my name. And this morning I want to simply say, we need moms who identify with Christ. We need Christian moms. Not just Christian because they're saved, but Christian who identify with Jesus Christ. There's more to being a Christian than just getting saved. Getting saved is the one thing that will absolutely change your life, change your eternity. But there's more to being a Christian, a follower of Christ, than just getting saved. Jesus wants you to follow Him. Now, moms, think about this for a moment. Ladies, think about this. It was a group of faithful women who found the empty tomb of Jesus on that first Sunday morning after the resurrection. It was a dedicated woman who poured out the expensive ointment on the feet of Jesus and washed His feet with her tears. It's often a faithful wife that prays for her husband until he gets saved, or a faithful mom who prays for a wayward son or daughter until that child turns their life over to Christ. And this morning, very quickly on this thought, we need moms who are willing to take the name of Christ and wear the label of Christian. If a mom will identify with Christ in a loving, joyful way, her children will likely want to identify with Christ also. Moms, you've got some amazing influence over those young people in your family. The little ones in your home, the direction that you go, the things that you like, the things that you allow, you will find that your children very often will go that same direction. I read a story about a mom who decided to turn away from God, decided to be an atheist and had wanted nothing to do with that. And it was really no surprise that all of her children went the same direction because mama made this decision, I'm making this decision as well. We need moms who will be saved. We need moms who will identify with Christ and the label of Christian. And then there's this phrase, shall humble themselves. We need humble moms. And I think we do. I think if you were to look at the population, compare, I might get myself into trouble if I start stereotyping, but if you're to compare, I think for the most part you would find that the ladies, the moms that we have are humble women who think of how they can serve God and others. We need moms who are willing to put their families before their careers and personal promotions. And I know that's not politically correct to say, but that is the way God said, I will bless you and I bless your family. It's His plan. We need moms who are able to bow their heads and their hearts before God and confess their sin and ask for His strength. We need moms who are strong enough to lean heavily on God for fulfillment in their relationships and purpose. And we're talking about humility, and we don't just need humble moms. We all ought to be humble, but because it's Mother's Day, we're pointing that direction. You know, humility is not thinking less of yourself than you think of someone else. It's simply not thinking about yourself at all. It's being willing to serve God without anybody noticing. It's being willing to get up early and ride a church bus so that other people's kids can come to church and learn about Jesus. It's being willing to watch a nursery so that moms and dads can hear the gospel in the service. It's being willing to teach a Sunday school class to impact young lives for eternity. It's being willing to go out soul winning and knock on 50 doors for the opportunity to tell one or two people about a Savior who loves them and wants to save them. Humility is being willing to go to God and say, God, I messed up. God, I've sinned, and God, I need you. Would you forgive me? Humility is like this young man's mom. A teacher asked him this question in math, and she said, suppose your mother baked a pie, and there were seven of you, your parents and five children. And the teacher asked the young boy, she said, what portion of the pie, what fraction of the pie would you get? And the boy looked back at the teacher, and he said, 1/6. And then the teacher said, I'm afraid you don't know your fractions. Remember, there's seven of you in this family. And then the boy said, yes, teacher, but you don't know my mother. Mother would look at the small servings and she would say she didn't want any pie. It's 1/6. That's humility. There's a story, and it wasn't that long ago. It was 1987. It was a Northwest Airlines flight. It crashed just after taking off from the Detroit airport. 156 people were aboard the plane. 155 died in that crash. One person survived as a four-year-old from Tempe, Arizona. Her name was Cecilia. The rescuers came upon the crash and they found Cecilia. She was out walking around the plane crash. They thought there's no way she could have been a passenger. Maybe she had been in one of the cars. But when the passenger register was double-checked, Cecilia's name was on there. She was on the plane, but it turns out she survived and was the only survivor. Because as that plane was falling, Cecilia's mother, Paula, unbuckled her own seatbelt, got down on her knees in front of her daughter, wrapped her arms and her body around Cecilia and would not let her go. And that's the kind of mom we need. The kind of mom when God's talking, He says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. It's not about me. It's about what I can do for my children. It's about what I can do to serve my God. We would all do well to learn from that lesson. Then He said, if they will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. I'm going to group those two together. We need praying moms. You remember the story in the Old Testament about Hannah? She couldn't have a son, and she went to the temple one day, to the tabernacle, and she was there. She was praying and praying, and the priest came, and he saw that she was praying. She wasn't saying any words, just mouthing the words. And as she was praying, the priest thought she was drunk, but because she was just her mouth was moving, but no words were coming out. As she prayed, and she prayed so diligently and so earnestly for a son, and God gave her a son. We know his name was Samuel. You know, we'll probably get to heaven and find out that more good was done in this world by praying mothers than by any other group. Let me share what some famous people said about their moms. Charles Wesley said this, I learned more about God from my mother than from all the theologians in England. And he was one of the leaders of one of the great revivals of our time, not our time, the generation or two ago. Charles Spurgeon said this, I cannot tell how much I owe to the prayers of my good mother. Abraham Lincoln said this, no one is poor who had a godly mother. Theodore Roosevelt said this, praying mothers are America's greatest asset. The President of the United States saying the greatest thing we have as a country are praying mothers. D.L. Moody told this story about a man who came to him and said, when the Mexican War began, I wanted to enlist. My mother, seeing that I was resolved, said if I became a Christian, I might go. She pleaded and prayed that I might become a Christian, but I wouldn't. I said when the war was over, I would become a Christian, but not until then. All her pleading was in vain. And at last, when I was going away, she took out a watch and she said, my son, your father left this to me when he died. You take it. And I want you to remember that every day at 12 o'clock, your mother will be praying for you. Then she gave me her Bible and marked out some passages and put a few different references in the flyleaf. I took the watch and the Bible just because my mother gave them to me. I never intended to read the Bible. He said, I went off to Mexico, and one day, while on a long, weary march, I took out my watch, and I noticed that it was 12 o'clock. I'd been gone for 4 months, but I remembered that my mother at that hour was praying for me. Something inside me prompted me to ask the officer to relieve me for a little while, and I stepped behind a tree away out on those plains of Mexico, and I cried to the God of my mother to save me. God saved him, and after the Mexican War was over, D.L. Moody tells a story. He said, I've enlisted once again to see if I can do any good for my master's cause. You never understand really this side of heaven. We may never understand the importance, the huge impact of a mother's prayer. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And then the last thing the Bible says in this verse is, and turn from their wicked ways. God says, if they will do that, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. We need repentant moms. We're so programmed by our culture that we tend to tolerate sin, and we tend to accept sin. We tend to be embarrassed to be called a Christian or to be noticed as a Christian in public. We tend, as Christians even, to be more like the sinful world than the separated Christian that we ought to be. And this morning, what I want to help you to understand is we need moms who will spend time studying the Bible so they will know how to live and raise their families. It's not just for the preacher to spend time reading the Bible and studying it. It's not just for a husband or a father to spend time reading the Bible. It's also for moms to spend time reading the Bible, study the Bible, to find out what is right, find out what is wrong. When we spend time with God, we find that there are areas in our lives that need to change. Now, moms, listen, dads, teens, you can't make everyone get right with God, but you can get yourself right with God. Proverbs 14:34, the Bible says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. We need moms in our day that are repentant moms. We need moms in our time that can see the truth and turn from their wicked ways, because God said, I will bless that. You'll find yourself, if you do this, going upstream against popular opinions. You'll find that the current magazines are often in opposition to the Bible, so you've got to make a choice. Am I going to be like the rest of society and raise my children the way this magazine says, or pursue my career the way this magazine says, or dress like this magazine says, or am I going to do it the way God wants me to do it? You will find yourself in opposition, and we do need some moms that will say, I want to do right so much that I will repent, I will turn from my wicked ways, and I will live a life that pleases God. Choose carefully which TV shows you watch, because they will determine what kind of mom you are to your kids. Allow God to help you choose your friends, because you will become like them whether you want to or not. Maybe as we mentioned one of these areas, maybe God pricks your heart this morning and says, I do need to get right in that area. I do need to turn back to Him in that area. Put God first in your relationships so that He can help you live a life that pleases Him. We're about out of time this morning. One more statement. A life that pleases God will also benefit your family. God said this, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, Then I will hear from heaven, and I'll forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Now, I know this applies to every one of us, but moms, it's your special day. And I want to challenge you from the Word of God here. First of all, are you saved this morning? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you stopped trusting yourself and simply turned to Christ and said to Him, I will trust You completely for my eternity and to forgive my sins? Are you saved? Mom, are you identifying with Christ this morning? Are you a Christian, or are you ashamed to be a Christian? I want to challenge you to identify with Christ this morning. Mom, have you humbled yourself before God? Are you willing to do His will for your life, or is it still all about you? I find myself challenged even to say those words, because as I say them, as I look out, I see so many who have just proved their sacrificial life, and I know that I'm surrounded by so many godly ladies and humble ladies. Mom, have you determined to pray? Have you determined to seek God's face? Because that's what's going to make the difference. Theodore Roosevelt said that praying moms are our country's greatest asset. And then last, Mom, are you right with God this morning? Are there areas in your life where you just need to go to God and say, God, I know this is wrong, but I want to turn from my wicked ways. I want to repent. I want to get right. I want to live a life that pleases You. And as you live a life that pleases God, you will benefit yourself and you will make a difference and benefit your family. Father, I pray that You would use this message this morning. Help us to understand this huge challenge, and that is to turn to You, to be saved, identify with You, humble ourselves, turn from our wicked ways, spend time in prayer. Lord, I know this applies to everybody, but maybe there's a mom here this morning who has not trusted You as their Savior. Lord, I pray that this morning they would simply understand their need for a Savior and they would turn to You and trust You. Or maybe there's a mom this morning who's struggled. She's got a lot of friends and they're not saved, and she's wanted to be like them, but she realizes that if she's like them, she's going to sacrifice some very important values for her family. I pray that You'd help her to stand for right this morning. Make a decision to do right and live for You. Lord, I pray that You'd encourage the moms this morning. Maybe they're praying for a wayward son or a wayward daughter, for family members. Maybe for a close friend. Lord, I just pray that You would encourage them just to continue praying until that prayer is answered.